Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. You know that this message that you're about to hear, I pray that not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are you're thinking about them right now. Share this message with them at this very moment. And if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure that you hit the subscribe button. I also want to take a moment and thank those who support us. We wouldn't have a ministry outside of these four walls if it weren't for people like you who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands of people who are benefited by this ministry, and because of that, we want to say thank you so much for your generosity. To continue or to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. Well, enjoy the sermon.
Hey, church family, what a great way to start today's teaching by singing, "You Are a Good, Good Father." And folks, I'm glad that we sang that song because, folks, today we're going to be looking at God's Word and see how God is truly our good Father that always means good for us. Can we praise God one more time today? Come on. Amen. Hey, well, welcome, Christ Fellowship. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at CF. And if you're joining us today for the first time, glad you're here with us, whether online or one of our local campuses. Today we are in our second week of a series entitled Your Father's Heart. And we've been going through the Old Testament. We're currently in the book of Deuteronomy. And so this series is focusing on Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 11. And today we're going to be looking at our Father's instruction for us. And so, man, I'm ready and excited to dive into God's Word. And I hope you are as well. And so wherever you find yourself, let's open up our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, and then also chapter 7. And you can follow along with me as I read, all right? Listen to what God's Word says. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our what, church?" Oh, you could do better than that. What is it? Yeah, "for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day." In other words, our Heavenly Father gives us instruction for our good, and his instruction for us is a way of showing his love to us. Amen? That is God's Word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And family, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, many of you know that my parents got divorced early in my life. I was about 1 or 2 years old. And so since then, I was living back in Puerto Rico. And on the weekends, my dad would always come pick me up. And man, I always had a great time. In fact, my fondest memories growing up was when my dad would pick me up on the weekends. And we would go to Burger King. And we would go to the park and all these different things. Those were a lot of my beautiful memories when I was a little child. And I've been, you know, very blessed that I've had a really great father all of these years that's really just always encouraged me and loved me all of my life. However, in 1991, you know, when I was seven, my mom got a job opportunity here in Miami. And so she decided to move here in order to kind of take a step in her career. And so at that juncture, my dad had a choice to make. And that choice was either to move to Miami where he didn't have family or friends or a home, he would be starting from scratch, or go back to his home country of Cyprus, which is a little island in the Mediterranean. And there he had family, friends, he had a home there already. And so in that whole process, he made the hard decision of when me and my mom moved to Miami, he and then turn moved to Cyprus. When I was seven. And folks, it was, even though it was, you know, hard on me, the reality was that by the grace of God, I maintain a really great relationship with my dad, and he has always encouraged me and supported me along the way. And so growing up, after I moved to Miami, I would only see my dad during the summer, but throughout the year, I would always speak to him on the phone every week, once or twice a week. And so I remember that whenever it was that day to talk to my dad, I would go home to my house and I would wait for his call and I would get that phone call. And folks, during that conversation, we would just be catching up, talking about life, how are you, things are going on. But folks, towards the end of the conversation, my dad would then go into a good portion and giving me instructions on health and well-being. See, what you need to understand that when when my dad moved to Cyprus, he got really into health and living a healthy lifestyle to the point that he had his own little property, a farm, and he would grow all his fruits and vegetables and give to his friends and family. And so he loved living a healthy life. He just loved the whole scene. And so whenever we would get on the phone, he would then, towards the end, he would begin to give me instructions on what to eat, what not to eat, stay away from sugar, you know, eat this food, if you're sick, eat this. And so this whole thing, and I have to admit, whenever we got into those moments of the conversation, when my dad began to give me all those instructions about health, folks, I have to admit, listen, I couldn't wait for those moments to be over. Oh, yeah, because, listen, I feel like, my gosh, he's going really into it. And I thought to myself, my gosh, he's going to drive me crazy with all this. And so until one day when I went to visit my dad's family in London, half of them live in Cyprus and half of them live in London. So one of the summers I actually went to London and I was talking to my aunt, Emine, and we were talking about this whole thing, you know, like he's always giving me all these health tips and instruction. And he said, Omar, here's what you need to understand. The reason that your dad is giving you so much insight, so much instruction, so much guidance, it's not because he wants to stifle you. It's not because he wants to control you. It's not because he wants to be a pain, but rather is because through his instruction, he's showing his love for you. In fact, the reason that he spends more time giving you instruction and guidance and insight more than anybody else, more than any of us in the family, is because he loves you more than anybody else. And folks, the moment that I heard those words from my aunt, there was a mental shift that took place in my mind. Because I no longer saw the instruction and the guidance of my father as a burden or something that he was trying to control me, right? Or keep me from joy or trying just to, you know, I stopped seeing that. And now I started seeing his commands to me, his instruction, his guidance, as a way of him showing his love for me, because everything he was telling me was for my own good. Amen. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because folks, what an example of when we hear the instructions of our heavenly Father. And by that I mean that just like my father's instructions, right, about health and well-being were ultimately for my good, you know, showing his love for me just like that. Here's the main idea as we open up God's word. You know, every time we pick up God's word and we hear our Heavenly Father's commands, our Heavenly Father's instructions, when we hear our Heavenly Father's, his will for our life, listen, it's not our Heavenly Father's a way of being overbearing on us. It's not of him trying to control us. It's not him trying to steal our joy, but quite the opposite. When we see the instructions and the commands of our Heavenly Father are actually a sign of his love for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
You know, unfortunately, the truth of the matter, there are so many people, especially when they're early on in their walk with the Lord, that they view the commands of God, the instruction of the Lord, the guidance of God, more as a burden. More as something that I have to do. And who knows, maybe right now, you're sitting here at church, you know, you're a believer, you're with the Lord. But if you could be honest, when you read God's word and you hear the Psalms and you hear the Proverbs, you know, you hear the stories of Jesus, you love all those parts of the Bible. But the moment that you get to those parts where God gives you some clear instructions, some clear commands, if you could be honest, those are the parts you're like, You feel like a drag. You feel like that's like the downside of your walk with the Lord. But maybe you're here at one of our campuses, you're thinking, Omar, but I don't want to think that way. I want to be able to view the instructions, the commands of God for what they are, as His way of showing love to me. And so, Omar, how do I make that mindset in my mind where I go from seeing the instructions and the commands of God as being a drag, as being something that God is trying to stifle me, to actually seeing the love of God for me through them? Folks, we're going to find out today from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 7, all right? So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And you can follow in our listening guides as well as in our app. In church today, I have three important thoughts for us to consider about when it comes to the instructions of our Heavenly Father. CF, are you ready to dive into God's Word at all campus? Come on, let me hear you. You ready? Okay. So write this down as point number one at all campuses and online. Here it is. The first thing we need to know is that your Heavenly Father desires for you to obey Him ultimately for your good.
Amen.
Now listen to what God's Word says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, and the Lord, right, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, has commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our what, church family?
Good always.
Good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are this day. So then it says in the next verse, so when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possessions of it, and clears away many nations before you, you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them, and show no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons, for they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. You shall break down their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars, and chop down their asherim, and burn down their carved images with fire.
Amen.
Now, folks, stop right there and slip into the scene. Because like I shared last week with you, right, the book of Deuteronomy is a moment in Scripture where the people of God, the Israelites, right, were on that border by the Jordan River, and they were about to enter the Promised Land. If you recall last week from the map I showed you, so they're right now in the book of Deuteronomy in the plains of Moab, and they're right across the city of Jericho, which is they're going to invade once they go in. That's in the next book of Joshua. So before they enter into the Promised Land, right, Moses here is addressing the people of God and giving them and reminding them of the instructions and the commands of their God. And so at this point, as we just read, right, God is promising them, listen, when you in the future, when you enter into the Promised Land, I am going to be the one that does the impossible, and I'm going to drive these nations out of there for you. However, you have instructions. You have certain things that I want you to do. Now, I've shared with you in the past, right, that the people who were living in this land were extremely immoral. They had pagan sacrifices, and so the Lord knew that if they were going to go into that land, and if they were going to live the life that God envisioned for them to live, then listen, then they could make no concessions with them. They can make no pacts. They can make no treaties with them, right? They had to go in there and completely drive them out. Why? Because God knew that if they left people in that land, if they made any covenants, if they made any concessions with the people there, eventually those people were going to drive not only them, but their children and their grandbabies away from the Lord. And so these instructions that God was giving them was really ultimately for their good.
Amen.
And folks, in the same way, listen, when you and I, when we come to know Christ as Savior, we start a personal relationship with God. Listen, there's going to be things that God is going to want you to do. If you want to live the life that God envisions you to live, then there's going to be certain things that He's going to ask you to do. There's going to be certain friends and lifestyles and habits, certain things in your life that you need to leave behind, that you can make no concessions with sin. Why? Because God knows if you don't deal with those things in your life, eventually they're going to lure you away from Him. And not only that, it also passes to your children and your grandchildren. And so when God says, listen, leave certain things behind now that you are mine, listen, it's ultimately for our good. Amen? Now, unfortunately, there's so many people that when they read the commands of God, the instructions of God, they still see it as like a duty. Ah, all right, I got to obey. I got to do these things, whatever God is asking me to do. When in reality, they should view it as an honor and a privilege to obey the Lord. Now, some of us are like, what are you talking about? How can obeying God, how is that a privilege? How is that a privilege for me to obey God? How is that an honor to obey God? Well, write this down as big number two. You see, the privilege of obedience is that your heavenly Father chose you. Now, folks, listen to what God says after, in the very next verse, right? After God gives them all these instructions, all these commands, here's what you need to do, right? Listen to what He says in the very next verse. He says this. He says, for, everyone say for.
For.
Everyone say for.
For.
Yeah, for or because, right? Do all this for because you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has what, church? Chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, and it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all people. You were the weakest of all people. But it's because the Lord loves you. And is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. Wow. Now, folks, here's what is amazing about this passage, right? And I always want you to look at the logical progression that we read in Scripture, because the progression of Scripture reveals something very important, right? Notice that right after Moses is reminding the people of God of the instructions of the Lord, of the commands of God, then he says, now follow His instructions, follow His commands, live in obedience. Why? Because you are holy to the Lord. See, the word holy means set apart. That's what it means. It means to be set apart. So obey the Lord because you've been set apart. Obey the Lord because you are chosen by God. Yes. Obey the Lord because you are His treasured possession. You see, you would expect God to say, hey, obey me, obey my commands, so that I can set you apart. Obey me so that I can choose you. Obey me so that you can be my treasured possession. Listen, every false religion teaches that logic. You need to do something to obtain the favor of God. You need to obey God in order for God to love you, right? You need to obey God, in order for you to be their treasure possession. But the truth of the matter, that God, the true God, tells His people quite the opposite. He says this, listen, obey me because you are already holy and set apart. Obey me because I've already chosen you. Obey me because you are already my treasured possession. And folks, I love that right after that, God reminds them and reminds us, right, that they were not chosen because there were so many, because they were so mighty. It's like quite the opposite. God reminds them, you were the fewest of all people. You were the smallest nation on earth. And you were not the strongest nation on earth. You were actually the weakest nation on earth, to the point that you are slaves of the greatest empire in that moment, the Egyptian Empire. Yet God said, in His sovereign grace, you are going to be mine. Amen. You are mine. You are my treasured possession. And folks, listen, in the same way, when the Lord looks at His people today, the church, Listen, when he looks at us, when we look at the fact that God chose us, he chose us, right, out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his. And he did not choose us because we were so talented. He didn't choose us because we were so good, because we were so many, because we were so powerful. He did not choose us because we were so moral. He did not choose us because we're the only ones that figured out the gospel. Quite the opposite. God's words remind us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says this, "For consider your calling, brothers and sisters." In other words, consider the fact that God called you to be his. He says, not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God, what? Chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God.
Amen.
And folks, here's the beauty of this truth. That when you really internalize that of all the people on the face of the earth, the Lord decided to have grace on you.
Come on,
that he had favor in your life, that he called you to be his, it changes everything.
Amen.
In other words, when you start to realize, according to scripture, that even before the foundations of the earth, even before Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, even before that, he already knew you, he already chose you, and he already set you apart. When you start understanding that God chose you before the foundations of the earth, now obeying the Lord and following his instructions is an honor and a privilege. Amen? See, that's why God's word says in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Even as he what, church family? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that, or in order that, notice, we should be holy and blameless before him.
Amen.
Now think about that. Before the what that scripture is saying is that before the foundations of the earth, he already set you apart. He set his love on you. At one point, he knew that he was going to make you his. And he did this before the foundation of the earth so that now, when he calls you, now you can live a life that is holy and blameless before God. See, going back to the opener, it's sad though that there's some of us that perhaps we feel obligated and almost like a drag to have to obey God. And what happens is that when you look at everybody at your school, when you look at everybody at your work, when you look at all your past friends from high school, all those old buddies of yours, and you start seeing how they're living their life, and it seems like they're free to do whatever they want to do, and you are a believer now, right? You're a Christian, and you're walking with the Lord, and you love the Lord and everything, but it almost seems like in your mind there's something that happens where you love the Lord, and you're glad you're with the Lord, but you see some of the commands is almost like a drag, like I got to do this or I got to do that. And so, in your mind, you start thinking, well, in order just for me to be right with God, I got to miss out on all the things that everyone is having the time of their life doing. And folks, the reason I say that is because, listen, at one point in my life, that's how I thought. I love the Lord. I mean, I'm glad I'm at church and all that. But when I look at my friends and my buddies, co-workers and all, I think, wow, like, okay, they're doing all that stuff. At least I have God with me. But man, you know. But folks, the moment that I understood this truth, That was the mindset in my mind. Because when you start realizing, okay, think about this, that out of all the people on the face of the earth, out of all the people in your office,
come on now,
think of all the people in your office, out of all the people in your school, in your classroom, out of all the people in your neighborhood, for whatever reason, God decided to show grace to you, to show favor to you. Listen, when you truly understand that, wow, now I don't see obedience as a drag, but I see it as an honor and a privilege that God would choose me to be His. And some of you may be thinking, but Omar, how do you know? How do you know if you're chosen by God? How do you know? Well, folks, listen to what 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, because it's such an insight as to that the answer. Listen to what it says.
Hallelujah.
It says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you." So Paul's saying, hey, I know that God has chosen you to be His. And here's how you know. Because first of all, our gospel came to you not only in word, but notice what it says next, but also in what?
Power.
And in the Holy Spirit, and with what? Full conviction. You see, what Paul's saying is, I know that that God has chosen you, those people in the church in Thessalonica, because the gospel of Christ, the fact that Christ came down to this earth, right, to live a perfect life for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He resurrected to new life. And that by simply putting your faith in Christ, you can have forgiveness of sin, right? The fact that the gospel not only came to you, but also, it also came with power and conviction from the Holy Spirit. Listen, the gospel goes out to a lot of people in this world. But the Bible says, we know that God has chosen you to be His, because the gospel not only came into your ears, but it came with power and it came with conviction. And that is, and now that's why perhaps there's so many people that you know that hear the gospel and for them it's foolishness, but one day for you, it was no longer foolishness. It's God saving you. You realize you were a sinner and you needed God. You began to be convicted, and now you are part of God's people. Now, why did God choose you? I don't know. I don't know. Listen, God is sovereign. He has His sovereign purposes. And God could do whatever He wants. Listen, I want to break our church from ever thinking that this book, the scriptures, are about man's story. It's about God's story. And God could do whatever He wants. And we cannot question God. God has His purposes, and we trust Him, and we follow, and we do what we can in order to serve people, love people, but we let God be God. And we entrust Him to do what only He can do, because ultimately He is the creator of all things. Amen?
Amen.
But folks, here's what I want you to understand. When you start living in your individual life, that reality, that for whatever reasons, God chose me to be His. He convicted me. The Word of God came with power. And now I am His. Listen, that should motivate you now to want to obey, because it's an honor and a privilege out of all the people on the earth. God has set you apart to obey Him. Can we praise God today for that? Amen. And folks, listen, once you start obeying the Lord, here's the result. Write this down as big number three. The result of your obedience is experiencing your Heavenly Father's blessings.
Amen.
Now, folks, listen to what Moses says next, right? So he gives the instructions. He tells them, listen, obey because I've set you apart and you're chosen. And then he listens to what he says next. And because you listen to these rules and keep them and do them, He will love you and what?
Bless you.
And bless you and multiply you. And He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, and the increase of your herds and the young of your flock in the land that He swore to your fathers to give you. And you shall be blessed above all people. See, what God is saying, listen, as you obey me, I am going to bless the work of your hands. I am going to be with you, and I'm going to bless you. And then listen to what it says, what Moses says at the, what God says at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. He says this, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, all these what?
Blessings
shall come upon you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, as you obey the good commands that I give you, you will experience his blessings. Now, if you have your Bibles open, if you have your handout, circle the word bless right there. Circle the word bless. Because the word there for bless in the original Hebrew text is the word barak. And the word barak simply means what you think in English, like bless, right? It has the same connotation. However, the actual literal translation of that word, barak, bless, it actually means, get this, it means to kneel down.
Come on now.
So whenever, you know, the people of God would come before God to bless God, right? The physical imagery, right, is that you kneel before God and you bless God. But what's interesting here is that the Lord's saying here is that when God's people, right, obey the Lord and follow his commands, right, in the same way, it's almost like our Heavenly Father is telling us the imagery here almost is almost like he will then kneel down and bless his people who honor and obey him. You know, when I was preparing this, I was just thinking of my children. I mean, I have two kids, Camila and Mateo, right? And you know what I started realizing? That whenever at school or after church or at home, when they do something nice for me, when they're trying to show me something, how much they love me, when they do something, you know, that kind of just melts your heart, I begin to realize that my natural posture when my little ones come is like, I do this, right? I come and I embrace them, right? I love on them. And folks, that's the same imagery that God is showing us here. That when his people, who have set apart for himself his own treasure possession, and he looks down upon his children, and he sees his children trying to honor him, trying to live a life that of obedience that honors the Lord, it's almost like the Lord kneels down, our Heavenly Father, and blesses us for that. And how could he not? If we do that for our own children, how can not our Heavenly Father, our perfect Heavenly Father, come down to his children and bless us as we seek to honor him?
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen to that?
Yeah.
Amen. And so what Moses here is reminding them and us, right, is that you cannot experience the fullness, hear this, the fullness of the blessings of God without obedience. Now, the reason I stress the fullness in some ways is because there are certain blessings that we as a people of God will experience simply by being a child of God. You know, the moment that you put your faith in Christ and you become a child of God, right? There are certain blessings that are yours simply by being a child of God that can never be taken away. And those blessings, the majority of those blessings are eternal blessings. For example, this is why in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so, see, the moment that you come to know Christ, you put your faith in Christ, right? At that moment, right, you become his, you become a child of God, and there's certain blessings, eternal blessings that you will experience simply by being a child of God. Nothing could change that, right? Just like with my children and your children, right? There's certain things about you that regardless of how they live their day-to-day life, right, they have an inheritance from you. They're your child. That will never change, right? Same thing with God. When you come to know Christ, there's certain blessings in our life that are eternal blessings that doesn't matter what happens in this life, those blessings are yours. You can feel secure in that.
Yes.
However, so those are eternal blessings, right? In the next life. However, there are other blessings in this life. There's certain aspects of God's blessings that you can only experience if you obey the Lord. So, for example, if you want God to bless your romantic life, your dating life, then listen, obey God
in your romantic life. If you want God to bless your family life, your marriage, your children, then obey God in your family life, in your marriage, with your children. If you want God to bless, right, your career, your business, then listen, obey God, honor Him in your career, honor Him in your business. If you want God, right, to bless your finances, then listen, what He entrusts to you, honor Him, give back, be obedient in what He gives you. So my point is, listen, you cannot expect God to bless you if you are not obedient to God. Amen. You know, we can be hypocritical that we want the blessings of God, but living in sin. You want to experience the blessings of God? You want him to lead you and guide you and show, then you need to start living that life of obedience. Why? Because the blessings, many of the blessings of this life come when you walk in obedience. God has chosen to bless and honor the obedience of His children. Amen? Amen. And now, if you start thinking about just the whole context of this teaching, if God not only before the foundations of the earth set you apart, chose you and set you apart in order that you would obey, He also set you apart before the foundations of the earth for you to experience His blessings. Amen. Think about it. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God has chosen you to experience the blessings of God. So how can it not be an honor and a privilege for us to say, you know what? I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to walk in obedience to the best of my ability. Sure, I may stumble here and there, but there is this thing in my heart that I want to walk in obedience to the Lord. Can we praise God today for that? Amen? Yeah. And so listen, my goal as a pastor, my goal as your pastor is this, is to help you understand what an amazing gift we have in the Lord, the fact that He set us apart. And my prayer is that as we live our lives, that we will always choose to follow the Lord. Why? Because He chose us for obedience. And that's the greatest honor of our life. And folks, let me end with this. You know, perhaps you're here today at one of our local campuses, and the reality is that, man, you're at church and you're okay with the Lord, but you really do not know the Lord in a personal way. You don't have a relationship with God. You know of God, but you don't know God. You don't have a personal relationship with God. There's something in you right now that says, you know what, man, I'm tired of living without a Heavenly Father. I'm tired of living by myself, making mistake after mistake, trying to explore different things. I'm tired. I need God in my life. And so you may be wondering, well, Omar, how can you then become a child of God? Because remember, everybody is a creation of God. Not everyone's a child of God. So how do you become a child of God? Because I want that relationship with God. I want that Father relationship with God. Well, folks, listen to what John chapter 1, verse 12 says. It says this. It says, but to all who did receive Him, who what, church?
Believe.
Who believed in His name, He gave the right to become what?
Children.
Children of God. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not nor the will of man, but of who? But of God. But of God. So it's simple. Listen, you want to be a child of God? You want to start walking with the Lord? You want to have a personal relationship with the Lord? It's so simple. There has to be a moment that you put your trust and faith in what Christ has done for you.
Amen.
How our Heavenly Father sent His only Son to this earth to die for your sins, to live a perfect life of obedience for you that you and I could never live. Then He went to the cross, and on that cross He suffered the shame and the punishment of every sin you've ever committed, so that those who would come to Him in faith, like the scripture says, and believed in Him, put our faith in Him, surrendered our life to Him, for that we would become the children of God, and we would start a personal relationship with the Lord, and we would become part of the people of God. You see, the reality is that you can come to church for 30 years and sit in one of these chairs and never know God. You can do all the good moral things in life and never know God. You can give to as much money to all these different things and never know God. It only comes by faith and faith alone. And the Bible says that the moment you do that, He forgives you of all of your sins. He knows your sins. He forgives you of all your sins. Then he comes and brings you close. You start a relationship with the Lord. And from that moment on, you start a personal relationship with God, what he envisioned for your life, until the day you see him face to face. But there has to be a moment where you say, you know what? I need God. And you surrender your life to the Lord. You put your faith in the Lord. The question is, will you put your faith in him today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come before you for those of us who are believers already. And Lord, we thank you, first of all, that we are your children. We thank you that you set us apart even before the foundation of the earth. Help us, Lord, now, as we live our lives, to see your instructions and your guidance and your insight, Lord, as a blessing for us, as a way of you showing your love to us. And Father, let it kind of be an honor and a privilege to walk holy and blameless before you. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed at all campuses, I want to speak to those of us today that right now that you feel like, you know what, man, I'm ready to start a relationship with God. I'm tired of walking by myself. I know what I've done. I'm just tired, and I want God in my life. And so if that's you, listen, I want to lead you in a prayer in a few moments. But before I do that, if you feel like today, man, you're ready to start that relationship with the Lord, in a few moments, I'm going to just, when no one looking around, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand at all campuses if you feel that's where you're at. Here's why. It's almost like an affirmation that, yes, I'm ready. I am ready to be able to start a relationship with God. That first service, many hands went up. I'm confident there's people here today that says, you know what, I'm ready to start as well. And so with no one looking around, all eyes closed, it's a private moment. If you feel today, you know what, man, I'm ready to take this step of faith. I'm ready to start a relationship with God. If that's you, with no one looking around and all eyes closed, just slip up your hand so I can see. Anybody says today, you know what, I'm ready to start a relationship with God. I see you in the left. I see you over there. Anybody else at all campuses? Anybody else says, you know, I'm ready. I see you over here. Anybody else? I see you. Anybody else? I see both of you on the side. I see over you. I see you to the right as well. At all campuses, I see you right in the center. Anybody else says, man, I'm ready. Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Listen, what an affirmation to your own soul that, yes, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready. So that's you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And when you pray this, listen, first of all, you don't pray this to me. I'm only a man. I cannot save you. You pray to the God who loves you and is listening. And when you pray, you need to understand it is not the words that you're saying that saves you. It's the faith behind the words. It's the faith sustaining those words. Because the Bible says the moment you come to the Lord in faith, he draws you close. And that's the beginning. So now you pray in faith to the God who loves you. Pray this with me, quietly to yourself. Father, Lord, I no longer want to live life apart from you. I need you, Lord. So today, Lord, I come before you. And Lord, I confess all of my sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. I put my trust in you today, Lord. Make me yours. Save me from my sin. And now that I am yours, help me to live a life that honors you, Lord. Even though I may stumble in the future, it will be the honor of my life to live a life of obedience now. Thank you for setting me apart. Thank you for choosing me, oh Lord. Thank you for saving me. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, and all of God's people say, amen and amen. Hey, can you encourage all those who prayed that prayer at all campuses? Amen. If you pray that prayer, listen carefully. If you pray that prayer, it's the best decision of your life. You know what the worst way to live life is? To live that life without God. You know what the best way to live life is? To live with the God who loves you and created you. So you took that step. So if you pray that prayer at all of our campuses on your way out, If you say, I'm starting my relationship with the Lord, stop by the Next Step booth on all campus. Just stop by there. You'll see a sign that says Next Step. Stop by there for just a few moments. Man, you can just fill out a form. We have a brand new Bible that we want to put in your hand so you can start reading God's Word. But listen, when you stop, those few moments are important so that we can connect with you and to help you take in your steps in your walk with the Lord, all right? Small little moments, won't take more than 30 seconds, but huge, huge impact in your walk with the Lord. We can help you now in your journey with the Lord, all right? So make sure you stop by the Next Step booth after service. If you're watching online, go to cfmiami.org/connect, and there you can fill out the connection card, and we'll follow up with you as well. All right, church. Well, listen, it's been a beautiful Sunday so far. Let's finish off today by singing a song of praise. So go ahead and stand up with me, and let's worship together.